or in his sitting room, while lying on his bed, or indeed, while situated anywhere, and while eating, sleeping, or walking, Kamsa saw only his enemy, the Supreme Lord, Hrishikesha. In other words, by thinking of his all-pervading enemy, Kamsa became unfavorably Krishna conscious. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami has described the finest pattern of devotional service as anukulyena Krishna anushilanam, or cultivating Krishna consciousness favorably. Kamsa, of course, was also Krishna conscious, but because he Shishirada Kukulananda ki jai, Shishitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishigornitaya ki jai. But because he regarded Krishna as his enemy, even though he was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his Krishna consciousness was not favorable for his existence. Krishna consciousness favorably cultivated makes one completely happy. So much so that a Krishna conscious person does not consider Kaivalya Sukham, or merging into the existence of Krishna, to be a great gain. Kaivalyam Narakayate. For a Krishna conscious person, even merging into the existence of Krishna, or Brahman, as impersonalists aspire to do, is uncomfortable. Kaivalyam Narakayate Tridasha Purakasha Pushpayate. Karmis hanker to be promoted to the heavenly planets, but a Krishna conscious person considers such promotion a will of the wisp, good for nothing. Durdantendriya Kala Sarpa Patali Proktata Damshrayate. Yogis try to control their senses and thus become happy. But a Krishna conscious person neglects the methods of yoga. He is unconcerned with the greatest of enemies, the senses, which are compared to snakes. For a Krishna conscious person who is cultivating Krishna consciousness favorably, the happiness conceived by the karmis, jnanis, and yogis is treated as less than a fig. Kamsa, however, because of cultivating Krishna consciousness in a different way, that is, inimically, was uncomfortable in all the affairs of his life. Whether sitting, sleeping, walking, or eating, he was always in danger. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A non-devotee or atheist also cultivates God consciousness by trying to avoid God in everything. For example, so-called scientists who want to create life by a combination of chemicals regard the external material elements as supreme. Such scientists do not like the idea that life is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. As clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamaivamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta, the living entity do not arise from a combination of material elements such as earth, water, air, and fire, but are separated portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one can understand the position of the living entity as a separated portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by studying the nature of the living entity, one can understand the nature of the Supreme Godhead. Since the living entity is a fragmental sample of the Godhead. But because atheists are not interested in God consciousness, they try to be happy by cultivating Krishna consciousness in various unfavorable ways. Although Kamsa was always absorbed in thoughts of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was not happy. A devotee, however, whether sitting on the throne or beneath a tree, is always happy. Srila Rupa Goswami resigned from office as a governmental minister to sit beneath a tree, yet he was happy. Tyaktva turna mashesha mandala pati shrenim sada tuchavat. He did not care for his comfortable position as minister. He was happy even beneath a tree in Vrindavan, favorably serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. For a non-devotee, the world is full of problems, whereas for a devotee, the entire world is full of happiness. Vishvam purna sukhayate vidhi mahendrish chakitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhava vatam tam gauram evastu maha. Chaitanya Chandramrita 95. This comfortable position of a devotee can be established by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yasmin sthito nadukena gurunapi vichalyate. Bhagavad Gita 6:22. Even when a devotee is superficially put into great difficulty, he is never disturbed. Srila Prabhupada ki. Asinah samvisham stishtan bunjanah paryatan mahim chintayano hrishikesham apashyat tanmayam jagat. While sitting on his throne or in his sitting room, while lying on his bed, or indeed while situated anywhere, and while eating, sleeping or walking, Kamsa saw only his enemy, the Supreme Lord Hrishikesha. In other words, by thinking of his all-pervading enemy, Kamsa became unfavorably Krishna conscious. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vidamscham He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanu Lambita Bujoka Nakavadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palo Ванде джагат приякаро карунаватар энтах правишья мамавачим имам прасуптам сандживая такила шакти дарах свадам наням счахаста чарана шравана твагадим прананнамо бхагавате пурушая тубьям. Hare Krishna. So I will try to connect this verse with the initiation ceremony which will follow this class. And indeed it's not so difficult to connect one with another because here Śrīla Śukadeva Gosvāmī is explaining the perfection of Krishna consciousness. He basically said that King Kamsa has attained the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. Nothing less than this, because he specifically says, apashyat atanmayam jagat. He has seen, in the world, he has only seen Krishna. Whenever he would look, he would only see Krishna. This is the perfection. Because even Krishna himself, while describing the perfection, says, manmana. If you want to explain the essence of Bhagavad Gita in just two words, that's these two words, manmana. The essence, the purpose, the very goal of Bhagavad Gita is only one. Just think about me. That's what Krishna is teaching in so many different ways, and so many different paths of perfections are there for us. But ultimately, the perfectional stage is very simple. We always think about Krishna, and everything reminds us about Krishna. Whenever we look, oh yeah, right. We see the connection with Krishna, and that's exactly the situation of King Kamsa. He would see somebody, you know, it is said that he would start trembling when somebody's name would start with K because Krishna, he would, you know, he was completely, totally Krishna conscious. And Krishna himself says, Vasudeva Sarvamatisa Mahatma Sudurlaba. Basically, he says, Mahatma as Kamsa is very rare in this world. Because Vasudeva Sarvamiti, he says, you know, this whole world is Vasudeva. As Śrīla Prabhupāda beautifully translates this, he has seen this, his all-pervading enemy. He has seen his all-pervading enemy everywhere. And Tanmaya means that the whole world, Tanmaya Jagat, his whole world is consisting of Krishna. And of course, it's a very amazing good luck of King Kamsa. However, it's not to be imitated by us. Because of different reasons, and the main reason which Śrīla Prabhupāda explains in the purport is that it's not a very pleasurable way to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other, it's little perverted because the happiness, the natural happiness which flows to you when you are Krishna conscious, which actually makes Krishna consciousness to supersede or to be more preferable than any other ways of spiritual advancement. Like Śrīla Prabhupāda quotes this verse from Chaitanya Chandramrita where the three ways of advancement in this world is described. And he basically says that why Krishna consciousness is higher than karma, because the higher destination of karmis is to be in the heavenly planets. Why it is higher than Kaivalya, the highest goal of jnanis? Why it is higher than the goal of yogis to control their senses? Because it's happy. It's all these goals are achieved automatically through the happy state of mind of somebody who is Krishna conscious. So, this is not the way to cultivate or to develop Krishna consciousness. because this is not what is being recommended. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam, we have to do it in a favorable way. And basically this favorable way is safe way and very productive way, but there are some difficulties on this favorable way of cultivating Krishna consciousness as well. And that's exactly what I will try to concentrate and describe in my class today. In ideal case, if the heart of a person is completely pure, if somebody is totally, completely pure, then as soon as he hears the name of Krishna, or as soon as he hears something about Krishna, immediately his heart, his consciousness develops the natural condition of being attracted to Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive, we are part and parcel of Krishna, and this attraction is natural. There is nothing unnatural in this. So, as soon as we hear Krishna, it is said actually in the first verse, in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ishvara, what is this? Sadhya, Hridya, Varudya, Te. Immediately, Sadhya, Hridya, Varudya, Te, Sushrushubih. Even if one just desire, not just hears about Krishna, but desire to hear about Krishna, immediately Krishna is locked in his heart. But immediately Srila Vyasadeva, he adds to this. He says, Tatkshanai, in this very moment when the desire to be connected with Krishna appears, Krishna is there for us. But he says, Kritibih. Kritibih means pure-hearted. If you are pure-hearted, then in a very natural way, you also become Krishna conscious immediately. And before that, he again makes another condition, nirmatsaranam satam. He says, if somebody is sat, if somebody is honest, true person, and at the same time, nirmatsaranam, he doesn't have this envy, his heart is not contaminated by this envious sort of feeling, then sadhya hridya varudya te sushrushubis kritibis tatkshana. In the very same moment, Krishna will be there in the heart for you. Actually, in this amazing state, there is another sample of this sort of negative cultivation of Krishna consciousness in Ramayana. And indeed, in Ramanuja Sampradaya, this particular example is also serving as the example of pure Krishna consciousness, or pure Rama consciousness, if you may say, or God consciousness, let's say. It's the example of Marichi. Marichi was a demon, Rakshasa, who flew once to destroy Yagya in the forest, and Vishwamitra Muni took Ram and Lakshman. Marichi was with Subahu? Subahu. Subahu and Marichi, they wanted to destroy Yagya of the sages in this forest, and Ram just took little, not even arrow, just little blade of grass, and somehow or other Subahu was killed immediately, and Marichi, he flew many, many yojanas, many, many miles, until he just ended up somewhere in an island. And ever since he became absolutely, completely God-conscious. He would describe to Ravana himself, whenever I see some tree, I immediately see the image of Rama. Whenever I would, hear some sound, I think Rama is coming. So, and in Ramanuja Sampradaya, they always say that this is the pure God consciousness. Whatever you will look at, you immediately remember about God.
No matter what it is, the connection is firmly established in your consciousness. You are not trying to disconnect anything from God, so you are living in reality and you are totally God conscious, and everything is okay with you. But now we are talking about the positive way of cultivating God consciousness, which is recommended by our acharyas, Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. And this positive way of cultivating God consciousness is a very amazing, achievement, an amazing system, which ultimately can bring us in a very natural way, in a very organic way, to a very elevated state of consciousness. And we have to really understand what's going on and what is supposed to go on during all the stages of spiritual development. What I wanted to speak a little bit about, different stages of spiritual development, because the initiation ceremony is nothing but public recognition of somebody achieving certain stage of spiritual development. Actually, if we take Vedic culture, in the Vedic culture, where all the ceremonies, samskaras, would be regularly performed in different stages of life, all these samskaras are nothing but a help, an aid for a person to develop appropriate kind of ego. Because what is samskara? Samskara means that you are recognized as somebody, and it is expected that you will behave in a certain way. Like, for example, if we take modern so-called culture, I don't know how to call it, but for the lack of proper word, we can call it culture, although it has nothing to do with culture and reality. So Prabhupada said, and in fact it is said in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, then in Kali Yuga, people will not bother even to have a ceremony to become husband and wife. They will just agree to live together. One may ask, what is the difference? Because the essence, superficially looking, the essence is the same, you know. The same thing is happening. Why the ceremony is there? Why the need is there? But the very important need of the ceremony is that while undergoing this ceremony, you kind of adjust to a new situation. Your identity will be different. Now I'm a married man with appropriate responsibilities, appropriate way of behavior. Whereas if it's not signified, if it's not marked by this special ceremony, then the tendency is there. You will always think, you know, it was better before. Why don't I behave as I was behaving before? And while behaving in this irresponsible way, you basically destroy everything. You are not really formed. Basically, this the need of the ceremonies is to help you to form proper consciousness, to understand your identity more clearly. And if we examine the way the ceremony is being performed, let's say Vivaha Yagya, in this ceremony, basically what is being reminded, how you are supposed to behave from now on. What are the duties, what are the responsibilities, what does it mean that you have new identity now as a married man? Because otherwise people don't know what it means. And the tendency is to fall back into the previous condition. and to behave in a previous way, which is ridiculous, you know, like, we can see it in the modern society. People, they behave inappropriately, not according to their real position, not according to their identity. Like, also recently, I was in one traditional Indian family, and they had a small child, not so small, you know, he's probably 10 years old or 9 years old, maybe 8 years old. So, and he was playing like children do. And he was doing some mischief and asked, Father, why don't you stop him doing this? He said, no, no, let him play. Next year we will have Upanayana ceremony. After that, he will not be able to do this. He will just sit near me and see me performing puja, and we will study with him Sanskrit and this and that. So he will have Upanayana ceremony, and that's it, finished. No more playing. No more falling back into the previous state of consciousness. That's it. Already the limit is, the line is drawn. You are, from now on, you're supposed to behave as somebody with certain set of responsibilities, certain set of, certain mindset, you know, it's different. And to help people to obtain and to develop this particular mindset, the ceremony is being conducted. And basically that's the meaning of the ceremony, to explain to a person, that's who you are now. From now on, this is what your identity is. And what I want to briefly talk about is the stages of development, of spiritual development. While comparing the stages of spiritual development with development of the child. Because the goal of our spiritual life, before we will achieve this perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness, where we will be able to think about Krishna all the time, the goal is to form the proper identity. It's a very important point of our philosophy, is that all our problems in this material world is that our identity is improper. We have material identity. And this material identity means material ego, which we proudly call false ego, because it's really false. Identification with the lump of matter. Basically forces us, pushes us to behave in an appropriate way, as Prabhupada used to say, you know, I'm the Lord of my survey. I'm the Lord and Master. I'm the enjoyer. Basically, this is to, Prabhupada explains this in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. He says there are two aspects of ego. One aspect of ego, I am the Lord and Master, and another one, I am the Creator, and another one is I am Enjoyer. Enjoyer and Creator, Doer, whatever you call it. Well, there is third aspect of ego, Bhoktritva, Kartritva, and Gyatritva. There's three agencies, three aspects of any ego. I am the Enjoyer, Bhoktritva. I am the doer or creator, the Lord of my survey of everything. This is Kartritva and Gyatritva. I am the knower. I know. So the false ego means three false things. I am the enjoyer. I am independent enjoyer. Enjoyer of what? Enjoyer the fruits of my actions. I am independent doer. Independent creator. I will create, I will be this and I will be that. I will be Steve Jobs, I will be Barack Obama or whatever it is. And if you cannot make it in this material world, you usually end up in a psychiatric asylum and then say, I'm a Napoleon, I'm Jesus Christ. Only because of this desire, I'm the Lord, I am the Master. This is Kartritva. And Gyatritva basically means the knowledge. I know what I'm supposed to do to achieve this certain position and to enjoy the fruits of my actions. I'm acting, I'm enjoying the fruits of my action, and I know what I'm supposed to do to enjoy the fruits of my actions in the best possible way. So, and that's false ego, and in reality, the real ego consists of the same things. The real ego also, I'm enjoyer, but I'm not independent enjoyer. I'm taking part in the enjoyments of Krishna. And I'm the doer, but I'm not independent doer, I'm servant of Krishna. I'm serving him, I'm not serving my own will, I'm serving his will and his desires. And I'm the knower, I know who I am. I know what I'm supposed to do to be with Krishna. So, if we talk about this material life, the essence of material life is to develop this false ego. Because you can achieve anything in this material world only when your ego is strong. Somebody with weak ego, you know, they're good for nothing. Therefore, whoever you take in the material world, if they achieved something, they had a very strong material ego. In the same way, you know, if we want to achieve something in the spiritual life, we have to have very strong spiritual ego. And material ego means strong ego, you know, I'm the doer and I'm the enjoyer of the fruits of my action. I'm the master and I'm the Lord. And strong spiritual ego, I'm the servant. And the stronger this ego or this understanding, this concept of who I am is, the easier I will achieve success in my spiritual enterprise, in the spiritual endeavors which I undertake. And therefore, I think it's extremely important and appropriate and useful to see the spiritual development through the light of material development, development of material ego. Because the same sort of pattern is there. And you can more clearly recognize every stage of spiritual development while looking at the spiritual development through this lens. And basically, there is plenty of confirmation of this in Vedic literature, like in the second chapter of the first canto of Bhagavad Gita, where the stages of spiritual development are being described, starting with Sushruṣosadadanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi, starting from this verse, 16th verse, of the second chapter of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The last verse is that Chindante Hridaya Grantish. What is the last stage of development? The knot of the false ego in the heart is being cut off. And basically it means that the false ego is demolished and the proper ego, ego of a servant, is established, is firmly established and properly formed. So, and there are so many other confirmations which you can provide to this concept. So, what I suggest to you now, to look into the stages of spiritual development explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Adosha Adata Tak Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivriti Syat, Tatah Nishta, Tata Ruchis, and so on and so forth. So, look into the stages of spiritual development through this lens of forming spiritual ego. We know that if we take the development, the physical development, so to speak, then the there are certain stages with appropriate development of an ego, of a child. First is really babyhood, or how you call it, I don't know. Sishu, when somebody is really a baby. And usually it lasts 1 year, and it ends when the teeth start growing. When somebody is just taking the milk of mother, then the next stage is Kaumara, till the 5 years of age. Then the next age is childhood, Pauganda, till the 10th age. And then from 10th till the 15th year of life, it's Kaishora. So we have four, and from Kaishora, then Yovana, the next stage, with appropriate development of ego. And if we compare the stage of Shraddha, faith, with babyhood, and if we compare the next stage, which is sadhu sangha, with Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. Next stage, Kaumara, with sadhu sangha. Next stage, Bhajana Kriya, with Pauganda, spiritual childhood. And next stage, Anartha Nivritti, with Kaishora, spiritual teenage, teenagerhood, how you call it. So, I think there will be very interesting understanding of what is supposed to be done. So, with your permission, I will say a few words about this. So the first stage is Shraddha, when we develop faith. And Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, he specifically stresses the point. Was it Srila? Yeah, Srila Jiva Goswami. He specifically stresses the point, not just Shraddha faith, Shastriya Shraddha. It should be the faith in scriptures. Faith in scriptures, because, you know, everyone has faith. Krishna himself says, Shraddhamaya yam purusho. Every living being is made of faith. Shraddhamaya. Everyone believes in something. You can believe in Darwin, you can believe in Putin, you can believe in, I don't know who else, but everyone believes in somebody or something, or some belief is there. So Shraddha in itself is not a big achievement. In fact, it's not an achievement at all. What is special is spiritual Shraddha, and spiritual Shraddha means Shastriya Shraddha, the faith in Vedic scriptures. And if you compare it with the babyhood, with this first development of a little child, then what is most important in this stage? Certain things. First of all, the complete, total, unconditional acceptance by the mother. Without this, the baby will not develop. So if we are if we have this, idea that somebody should have Shraddha, should develop Shraddha, or be in this stage of spiritual development, then the first thing is that total unconditional acceptance of this particular person. No demand whatsoever. And that's exactly what Srila Prabhupada was doing with his first disciples. Total, complete, unconditional acceptance. Whoever you are, no demands. I will wash plates after you. I will cook for you. I will chant kirtan. I will give you some Shastriya Shraddha. Just be here. Nothing else. And even if you sleep, it's fine. And even if you are a little drunk, no problem, you know. What can you expect from a little baby? You know, you just feed him. And the most important thing is actually the mother's milk in this stage. And mother's milk in our case is the milk of Vedamata, is the milk of Mother Veda, the scriptures. And what is extremely important is that at this first stage of spiritual development, people, they should get more or less general understanding of Vedas, of what Vedas are all about, the general understanding of the framework of the Vedas to develop this phase. Rational, very rational, no demands that, you know, surrender to God, otherwise you will burn to hell and, you know, God knows what. No, if you want the proper development, then just feed people with the sweet milk of Vedic scripture by giving them very rational understanding how Vedas are very logical. In fact, Vedas are extremely logical. That was my first impression when I first read Bhagavad Gita, even without purports of Srila Prabhupada. It was a different edition of some esoteric Bhagavad Gita. I thought, my goodness, it's so rational. I don't believe in it, but I probably should consider something. So that's the first thing. And it's very important to give the pure mother's milk and not to mix it with all this, you know, with all this powder milk. Like, you know, I remember in the Soviet Union, in the Soviet days, you know, there was shortage of food products. But for babies, there was this, you know, boxes with some, you know, powdered milk. And there was a baby in the on this box, picture of the baby with really red cheeks, you know, which is which is the sign of allergy. So, if you give some other food to the baby, then very red cheeks will be developed, which is the sign of allergy. And this allergy, this spiritual allergy, is Srila Jiva Goswami calls it Lokika Shraddha. Lokika Shraddha basically means superstition. You don't have proper faith in the Vedas. And if you don't have the proper faith in the Vedas, you fill up the holes which are there, or, you know, you need to grow, so to speak, and because you don't get the proper nutritions, you fill up the need for your growth by improper things, and basically you develop certain superstitions. If we look at the devotees, in devotee community, there are so much superstitions. And basically, superstition, it's this childish belief in miracles. You know, somebody tells, I saw this dream. Oh, yeah, you saw this dream. Right. Krishna must be God. You know, or whatever. You know, people always talk about miracles and miracles and miracles as if it proves anything. It doesn't prove. It only proves that you are lacking faith. That's what it proves. If you have faith in Vedas, you don't need the crutches of all these different superstitions. So on the first stage, it's very important to develop the general understanding of the Vedic, of the, you know, of the design of Vedas, of the logical development of Vedas. And then, and no demand whatsoever. And another important element which has to be developed on this stage is immune system, isn't it? For a baby, it's very important to be fed by the milk of mother, and if he's fed by the milk of mother, then immune system will develop properly. So immune system basically means that your basic doubts are dissipated, or you are equipped with certain arguments against the contrary understandings, contrary concepts. Because otherwise, if your immune system is not there, if you don't have these proper arguments ready in your head to counteract certain, you know, Darwin theory or whatever, you know, you hear something, you know, new discovery, Pithecanthropus, you know, was discovered, and you think, you're right, Pithecanthropus. So what am I supposed to do now? Am I coming from Pithecanthropus or from Krishna? You know, and it's not sure what I will choose, you know, most probably. So, sort of, immune system should develop while we are presenting to people. This initial presentation of the Vedas is very important because we have to really give them pure thing without too much superstitions. I know, I'm dealing constantly with all this, you know, outreach preachers. And, in Russia there are plenty of outreach preachers. And it's almost epidemics, you know, and they all develop their own techniques to develop faith in people. And my goodness, what kind of techniques are there? Phew. Somebody is, you know, can give this series of lectures about UFO, and then at the end say chant Hare Krishna and be happy or something like this, you know, while adding so many garbage information. God knows where did he took it from, and so on and so forth. You know, all kinds of techniques are there, but that's not true. We have to give the milk of the mother. With the proper argumentation, proper logic, which is there in the Vedas, and equip them with the proper thing. Then if the Shastriya Shraddha is formed, then the spiritual development will be natural. Otherwise, even devotees, even person, they develop some faith, but they will be sickly spiritual beings. There will always be some sickness because they don't understand what Vedas are all about. So the next stage, unfortunately, my time is running out and I have to come to Anartha Nivritti stage, which we are talking about now, at least. I very quickly run through other stages, and it's just a sample how this understanding will help you to design the spiritual development, the proper spiritual development of a person. The next stage is Kaishora, and Kaishora stage, what is the most important, actually, to develop ego, what is the most important element for developing ego? What do you think? Association. Exactly. Because ego always developed in the association I and non-I, you know. In this association, only the proper I is formed. So, Kaishora stage, which is compared to, in this analogy with Sadhu Sangha, the most important association, what? The association with sadhus, with seniors. It's actually, if we take these stages, we can see that on the stage of Sadhu Sangha, naturally, as the very name of the stage implies, the association with seniors is the most important. And basically means you will have to learn how to associate properly so that you will get protection from the seniors, from their wisdom, from their experience and everything. The next stage, Pauganda, when somebody becomes a child, he enters into the childhood, what is the most important relationship on this stage? Friendship. With equals. With the peers. Isn't it? In the beginning, in the formative years, the most important is the association with seniors. Then the next, on the stage of Bhajana Kriya, what is most important, and that's explained again and again by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by others, that Bhajana Kriya is not the devotional service as such. It's devotional service in the association of devotees. And first and foremost, in the association with equals, when we do something together. So if Sadhu Sangha, the most important thing is to learn how to respect seniors and to take shelter of the seniors, then in Bhajana Kriya, the most important value and the most important skill which you have to learn is how to cooperate with equals, with peers. How to deal with them, how to perform devotional service together, how to, interact in a healthy way with the peers. And then Kaishora, when somebody reaches the age of 10, what is the most important at this stage? To accept the responsibility for juniors. At this stage, Krishna is given cows for the pasture to take. You know, responsibility is the key word. The responsibility for juniors. We know for proper spiritual development, we have to have proper association with seniors, proper association with equals, with peers, and proper association with juniors, taking care of them. So there are certain stages where it has to be implied and very carefully, implemented, so to speak. At one point, you will have to be with the equals, with the peers, and do devotional service together with them. At one point, it's very important for you to take responsibility for the spiritual life of juniors, to become the counselor or whatever it is. And this is the stage of anartha nivritti, because you will never pass this stage properly if you are not helping others. This is a very important tool for our spiritual development, this counseling system or whatever, Bhaktivriksha system or whatever is there. To take responsibility for the spiritual lives of others is first and foremost help for us to develop properly as a properly formed spiritual adult, so to speak, with a proper spiritual ego. And I would say the first stage, again, my time already passed, so I have to finish now. But what I want to say is that there are certain stages of development of ego, spiritual ego, and the stage of Shraddha is just general faith in Vedic scripture and general understanding what Vedas are all about, the basics of Vedas. The next stage of Sadhu Sangha, very clear understanding, Aham Brahmasmi, should be instilled. I am not this body. That's the Aham, or the conception of ego, which should be formed in the first stage of spiritual development. And that's exactly what Srila Prabhupada was doing. As I said, first he was just pampering his little spiritual children and feeding them with the milk. And then he would instill, I am not this body, I am not this body, I am not this body. The next stage, the spiritual childhood, Pauganda stage, the ego should be, I am the servant of God. I am Das. And that's the stage where you get the first initiation with the name Das. That's Bhajana Kriya. You get this name Das and your identity is, I am the servant of God. But the next stage, which is Anartha Nivritti, extremely important stage, I am not the servant of God. I am the servant of the servant of God. This is the real Kaishora, this spiritual development. And this is how it should be. And if somebody is designing some sort of system, and ultimately the temple is a school, is an educational institution for spiritual development, how we have to be very carefully taking people and, taking them through the stages of spiritual development. So this is how ego is formed. I'm not this body, I'm servant of God, and then I'm not even servant of God. I'm servant of God's servants. And then after that, if this is completely formed, then you will achieve the stage of Nishtha, where the beginning of real spiritual emotions can be felt. Because we all after spiritual emotions, but can a baby have real emotions besides the emotion of fear and, you know, all other strange emotions? Can he have an emotion of love? No. The emotion of love, only the properly formed adult or youth can develop. Very healthy. And if ego is not formed properly, then you are not capable of experiencing the emotions. And sometimes I see people go, you know, they are really spiritually, they should have this pampers still, you know. They're spiritually nothing, and they go to Radhakund. And disgusting. Because this is all imitation. This has nothing to do with reality. Krishna is not happy with all that. This is crazy. You have to go through the stages. It's a natural process. A natural process takes time, and it's a gradual process, and you shouldn't jump over, and there are certain laws which should be respected, and if it's proper, then at one point you will fall in love with Krishna, no problem. And Krishna will fall in love with you. Don't worry about this. but not before that. As I said, I think there is something fundamentally wrong with our system of giving recommendation and something like this, because we are not trying really to consider whether the person has achieved some real signs of spiritual development, which are actually quite clear. You know, the first initiation, it's not just formality or, you know, so much of this service or that service. This service or that service can be pretense. If you prematurely give him initiation and at the same time and not demand the proper thing, the ability to associate productively with equals, you give him the first initiation, it will be disaster in his spiritual life. The most important stage which we are dealing with now is second initiation. And second initiation in this, it's basically the stage where the awareness should grow. Because only by the means of awareness, inner awareness, doing everything in a very conscious way, with growing awareness, one can get rid of all the anarthas which are there in the heart. So I'm very happy that two devotees are getting second initiation. I hope they're ready for this. I hope they are already reached the stage when they're ready to develop. Of course they're ready, because they're already taking care of other people and helping others to develop spiritually, which is very important. And they definitely grown up enough spiritually to develop awareness of what is going on in their hearts and to understand where the anarthas are and what the useful part of their understanding. Anyways, I have to finish now. Thank you very much.